This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, presented by Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including our next Todd Wright Tour event, Todd Wright Tour XVII, number 17. It will be the end of this month at West Chase Golf Club, only $68 per player. Visit joebucksfan.com/golf to register yourself, because Brandon Legal Group is already registered. They have the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour event and are big supporters of the golf tournaments. And Todd Wright Tour and Brandon Legal Group providing shirts for everyone at this upcoming event. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. No, your legal issue does not need to originate work-wise in the city of Brandon, personally in the city of Brandon, on the streets of the city of Brandon. Call them when you have that legal question. Schedule a free consult. They'll be up front if you're outside their area, but it doesn't necessarily have to be within the city limits of Brandon. And they are a full-service law firm. So no matter what your legal question, no matter what legal specialty you need, full service covers it all. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group. Great supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Again on the golf tournament, limited tee times remaining. The golf tournament is the last Sunday of this month. We're going to play speed golf on 9 and 18. You're going to have parlay cards to earn strokes off your team score on the 7-1 o'clock NFL games. Each team will have the opportunity to pick the early game, which is Eagles-Jaguars from London against the number for an advantage on the golf course. We'll have the Todd Wright Tour prize draft. And even new friends at Creative Loafing getting involved with the Todd Wright Tour, offering me even more great prizes to give away at my tournaments. My tournaments are more inexpensive than other golf tournaments in the Tampa Bay area, and I give you 3 to 10 times more at my events than those other tournaments give you at theirs. Also, we start on time. Guaranteed. Guaranteed we start on time. So check out Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, Todd Wright Tour 17. If you've never played in one of my events, email me. Ask me any questions. I'd love to get you out. Maybe there's some reason you haven't come out to play yet. We've sold out the last, 9 events, hoping to sell out 10 in a row. Todd Wright Tour 17, West Chase Golf Club, Sunday, 1 o'clock. October 28th, I'm going to feed you lunch from Better Bird. I'm going to feed you dinner from Chef Daniel at West Chase, a carved roast beef dinner, mac and cheese, salad. Better Bird's providing the dessert for that as well. I'd love to answer any other questions you have to get you to come out. Single, twosome, threesome, foursome, October 28th. Email me, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, or just go register. It's very easy to register online. I don't hold spots for anyone. You buy it. And don't ask me if the tournament's still for sale. If you can go to the website, joebucksfan.com/golf, and go to the bottom of the page where it says single entry, twosome, threesome, foursome, put it in your cart, buy it, it's yours. When you can't do that, that's when the tournament is no longer for sale. Just like an item on eBay. If the item is there and you buy it, it's yours. If it's no longer there, guess what? Someone else got it. It's that simple. All right, so the Bucks Bulletin Edition, we're in the bye week, so this is now Bucks Bulletin Edition number 9, regular season edition number 5. We've come a long way, and guess where we are? We're kind of right back to the end of last season. And that's the way things look from a Buck perspective and a fantasy perspective. They're 2-2. There are probably worse 2-2 teams out there. I'll submit Dallas is a very bad 2-2 NFL team. But there are probably teams with worse records that clearly look like they have more going for them than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To recap from the Bears game, when your defense makes Mitchell Trubisky look like Patrick Mahomes, you got problems. It's one thing when you get lit up by Drew Brees. That's one thing. It's another thing when Mitchell Trubisky does it. Because you've clearly made it so easy on Trubisky to execute some of the playbook that Matt Nagy either is reluctant to call or did call, and Trubisky couldn't make the throws or couldn't make the reads. It was all there for him. A number of people have been asking me since this game, does this mean Tariq Cohen is back? Does this mean Trey Burton is worth owning? And my response is, well, there aren't a lot of defenses as bad as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they made it that easy on Trubisky. Now, Trubisky could gain a lot of confidence out of this going into the bye week and then coming out of the bye week, showing, I guess, what he's capable of. It's more of what Matt Nagy's play calling is capable of to me, that it's beyond just Allen Robinson. It can get Taylor Gabriel involved. It can mean Trey Burton is fantasy relevant. It does mean that if things are rolling, Tariq Cohen is fantasy worthy, perhaps at the expense of Jordan Howard. He was the one Bear that if you played him in that game, it didn't work out for you. He didn't really get the he got game flowed out of it, because the Bears were just going up and down the field through the air on the Buccaneers. And so you got to look, we're going to look at the Buccaneers here in the bye week and looking ahead to the week 6 game. And obviously we'll have another addition to the Bucs Bulletin next week. But one of the things now until further notice is you have to start planning ahead for maybe when a team is playing the Buccaneers. So you have the Falcons coming out of the bye week, and Atlanta, for having just one win, has been putting up a lot of points really since that opening Thursday night game where they struggled to get in the end zone against the Philadelphia Eagles. Matt Ryan is having a very good year, so he'll be heavily in play next week. By then, Devontae Freeman might be back. Tevin Coleman's been okay. Obviously, Calvin Ridley is getting in the end zone a lot. Julio Jones still hasn't gotten in the end zone all year. Mohamed Sanu, though, is out snapping Calvin Ridley, which is interesting. So we'll get into all those things next week. But really, until further notice, you're looking at the opponent of the Buccaneers. Here we go again. As a green light, sort of like if you're on the fence for a performer against the Ravens right now and you have a better option that feels equivalent, you might want to play that other option since they're not playing the Ravens rather than the option you would normally plug and play because they are going up against the Ravens. We're starting to see some matchups, because I usually tell you through the first couple of games, don't get matchup specific. Then by the third game, you might start tweaking your depth chart off your draft board based on injury, based on performance. If someone's just really, really hot, like if you drafted Goff, you drafted Mahomes, by the third or fourth game, you're obviously getting them in there. Now by the fourth game, you might not be playing James Conner the way you played him the first game, because there's been a significant drop-off there for the Le'Veon Bell replacement. But now we can start to get matchup-specific, and the Ravens clearly are a matchup you want your fantasy performers to avoid, while the Bucs are a matchup you'd like to, let's say you've got to do a plug-and-play option where in a season-long league, or in DFS, there are you look at the plug and play options and how it benefits you. So, and I think it's the personnel, especially behind the line of scrimmage, as it relates to the people that Jason Light has given the coaching staff to use in pass coverage. And I think he was just trying to cover that Band-Aid up with all these defensive line acquisitions, basically saying, well, you know, we might not be so good in the coverage area this year, but if we can get to the quarterback, then people won't notice. Yeah, they do. So it's inferior personnel to me. It does start at the top, and I'm very critical of Jason Light and still don't understand why he's actually still employed by the Buccaneers. They have no running game. After I did the Bucs Bulletin preview edition on the running backs, which was the second edition of the Bucs Bulletin, I told all of you to not get excited about the fantasy prospects of Peyton Barber. I said this is one of those examples where what you see in preseason and what you hear coming out of the workouts doesn't necessarily mean anything once the games actually count, and it hasn't. Peyton Barber has been insignificant, irrelevant, since halftime of the first game against the New Orleans Saints. His numbers in the first half of that game were fine. They were fine. But I said it couldn't last, it wouldn't last, and even Jason Light and Dirk Koetter and the staff knew it couldn't, because that's why they made drafting a running back a priority in the offseason, used a second-round pick, and Jason Light, for the second straight year, has drafted a running back who doesn't know how to play in the National Football League. He did it with Jeremy McNichols the year before, and then he's done it with Ronald Jones. Jones was used because the Bucs are desperate. They know Barber can't play and can't produce. Barber couldn't produce with the Bucs up three scores. There's no reason Barber should be on the field when they're down three scores. They used Rodgers a lot in the game against the Steelers. Rodgers, unfortunately, his career is pretty much done. He's been a teacher's pet of Koetter for a while, and it's unfortunate that he wasn't healthier during his better years because the instincts and some of the skills are there. He just couldn't stay on the field. And of course, Charles Sims went on IR in the offseason, but I don't know the fascination with him. He had the most snaps of anybody on this team last year, and that leaves them with no choice but to put Ronald Jones on the field. And Ronald Jones was as bad in the Bears game as virtually everybody else, but as bad as he was in his preseason action. So one of the things, if the Buccaneers were actually serious about contending, which people thought they were going into that Monday night game against the Steelers, they should trade for an established running back. And for those of you who say, nah, nobody does that, I'm sorry. What did the Eagles do before the trade deadline last year? They traded for Jay Ajayi when no one thought Ajayi was available. And despite the fact that Ajayi never touched the ball, when his team snapped it inside the 5-yard line last year, the Dolphins or the Eagles, I think it's fair to say Jay Ajayi did help the Eagles win their first ever Super Bowl. So those trades can be done by organizations that are actually serious about contending and feel like they have a contending team. So now I know some of you are saying, well, how about Le'Veon Bell? Yeah, because he is the best. He is still the best running back in the National Football League. I'll put him against Todd Gurley. I will. Todd Gurley's fantastic. Le'Veon Bell's done it for longer. Le'Veon Bell does more than Gurley does. Le'Veon Bell plays three downs and can line up in multiple spots, including as a wideout. Will the Bucs do it? Probably not. Do I think it would make sense? If they think they're a contending team, it would. Because they would go from having no running game and having opposing defenses know they have no running game and they don't have to game plan it to having the best running back in the NFL, even if it was just on a rent-a-player type situation. And for those of you saying, well, we hear the Steelers want a second-round pick. Why would we give up a second-round pick? Jason Light's just going to fuck it up anyway. Hence Aguayo, hence Ronald Jones. Would you rather have Le'Veon Bell for a second-round pick, or would you rather have a kicker who can't kick or a running back who can't play? Thank you. So again, going back to what we said about Peyton Barber, I believe the guy on the message boards was called Buck 'em Up. I think his name should be What the Buck Are You Talking About? Because I was accurate on Peyton Barber. And now there's someone even emailed me the other day wondering how to create a roster spot. I forget for whom. And he still had Peyton Barber at running backs. Why? Why, especially even going into a bye week? Are you kidding? Why are you wasting a roster spot like that? So the fantasy relevance of the Bucs at this point on the bye week, there are really only three now. It looks drastically different than it did just a little over a week ago. It's Winston, it's Evans, and it's Cameron Brate. Again, we're going back to last season. Almost, because of the unfortunate O.J. Howard injury, Brate will be out there and Winston will look for him. Winston will look for him in the red zone. Winston will look for him on third down because Winston is comfortable looking for that big target and knows exactly where Cameron Brate is going to be. Mike Evans' numbers will probably not be as good with Winston as they were with Fitzpatrick, but they'll be good. They'll be good. And you have to assume the Bucs will be coming from behind, so Evans will be targeted quite a bit. And I would expect that the Bucs' play calling will still involve attacking down the field. Those throws now just are not as likely to go to DeSean Jackson because Fitz isn't in there. Or Godwin, who, if you notice, in a game where Winston quarterbacked this entire second half, Godwin had, I believe, 18 less snaps than Adam Humphries, another safety net for Jameis Winston to throw to try to keep the chains moving. So I'm not saying Humphries is fantasy relevant. He's not, kind of like Cole Beasley. Hasn't and isn't and hasn't ever been fantasy relevant for the Cowboys. There's just not enough yardage there. It's too touchdown dependent with Beasley or with Humphries. These guys aren't Wes Welker. They aren't Julian Edelman. Even though it looks like they play similar type game, they're not used the same way. They don't put up the same numbers. So again, from a fantasy standpoint, I'd say Brate is worth maybe rostering while O.J. Howard is out. Evans is still a wide receiver one type. I'd say maybe the numbers might trend more to wide receiver two, but I will say this about wide receivers overall in fantasy football this year. There's a huge drop-off from wide receiver one to what we expected were the wide receiver twos and threes. There are very few wide receiver twos and threes that are consistently putting up numbers to make their owners happy. This has been a fantasy year of a lot of big plays, and you need to have at least one, if not multiple, big-time players in your lineup producing huge numbers, because if they do, they cover up for the single digit numbers from your disappointing wide receiver two or your disappointing flex play or your disappointing RB2. There aren't a lot of running backs out there putting up big time numbers on the ground. Some of the best running backs out there are the ones who are doing it through the air, in addition to what they're doing on the ground. Guys like McCaffrey and Kamara and Barkley. And look who was on the receiving end of that long pass to get the Cowboys into field goal range to beat the Lions. Dak found someone he could throw to. It's the guy he hands off to. Ezekiel Elliott. Go figure. So also, as you're more and more, as you're thinking of flex plays overall, the tiebreaker is unless the running back you're considering playing at the flex is someone who is going to be targeted out of the backfield for passing plays, even in a non-PPR league, your flex should be a pass catcher at this point. There's more tight ends of significance than guys at running back you want to be flexing, because you know there are just so many running backs that aren't putting up double-digit numbers or are too touchdown-dependent across the NFL. And, of course, the Buccaneers are one of those teams. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, is presented by Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including Todd Wright Tour 17 coming up October 28th at West Chase Golf Club. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm, so if you have a legal need, if you have a legal question, and your next question is, well, do they do this kind of law? Well, can they help me with this kind of law, legal question? Full service law firm covers it all. You don't need to ask the question. You just need to call them for the free consult. 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Again, you can email me your fantasy questions at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com to come out and play in the golf tournament, as the Brandon Legal Group guys do, and all my other big supporters from Papa John's and Monster Energy and Dave Worth, and happy birthday to Bengal Ralph, and damn you, Greg, who leads the podcast league, who I have trouble making trades with because he listens to this podcast every week. He's doing very well, by the way, in the podcast league. So is Mike Lentz from Poppy John's, by the way. They're all playing in this event, including defending champ Robert Wright, who I actually beat in the podcast league this past week. Not a lot of highlights for us Leonard Fournette owners so far this year, but I did beat the defending champ. Robert's a good guy, a good sport, a big supporter of Todd Wright Tour events and the podcast, but I managed to hold him off despite him having Mahomes and Hunt on Monday night. We'll be back later this week with the full preview of Week 5 games on Sunday and on Monday night. Just two teams on bye this week, Chicago and Tampa Bay. I believe I have that right. I don't think there are any more buys than that. If there are, we'll go over it, and we'll talk about more trends and more things as we look at each matchup, looking ahead to Week 5 in fantasy football. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and specifically this Bucks Bulletin Edition presented by Brandon Legal Group.